AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I'm John Batchelor with Liza Mundy. Her new book is The Sisterhood, The Secret History of Women at the CIA. It's also a history of the CIA. So you can see the mission after the fall of the Soviet Union was unknown. It didn't have a clear way of, this is what we're for. 20,000 people working at Langley with a reputation of James Bond's. But Smirsch is gone. Carl is gone. Moscow Center is gone. What do we do now? Well, Heidi had seen it in Malta, but now we go to something called the CTC, the Counterterrorism Center, which, Liza, you introduced as having a faded carpet. What was it?
The Counterterrorism Center was a very small office, just as you say, at headquarters at the CIA that was created in the mid-1980s. Just as you say, Heidi August handled a terrorist hijacking on the island of Malta. And those of us, you know, who were adults in the 1980s, remember this period of hijackings, the Achille Lauro, certainly the explosion of Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. There was a terrifying series of terrorist incidents in the mid-1980s, when the Cold War was still very much the central mission of the CIA, and the CIA and the United States in general didn't know how to handle these hijackings, didn't know how to address terrorism, which is different from fighting communism, and so Heidi decided to make this her mission in life was to find a way to deal with these hijackings, which were resulting in the deaths of children and civilians and women and just ordinary civilians. You know, the willingness of terrorists in the mid-1980s to hijack planes and bomb airports and kill civilians was very disturbing to her. And having to place a phone call to the mother of a dead young woman who was a civilian employee of the U.S. military, and Heidi felt a real kinship with her. They were both in their mid-30s. They were both single. They were both working for the U.S. government. One of them was dead. Heidi was alive, and she chose to devote the rest of her career to fighting terrorism. So the agency doesn't know really what to do about this and how to fight these clandestine terror organizations, and they formed something called the Counterterrorist Center in a small, undesirable office at CIA headquarters with it, just as you said, crummy carpet, crummy air handling. It moves around the building. It ultimately ends up in a basement of what's called new headquarters that's attached to the original headquarters. And nobody wants to work there. It is in the 1980s and then even into the early 1990s, it's not a prestige job. And just as you say, the CIA is full of would-be James Bonds, would-be Jane Bonds. And they all want the sexiest, hottest, most important mission. And counterterrorism is not that in the 1980s and the 1990s even. And so an odd assortment of people finds their way into this really new kind of office that is instantly overwhelmed, because by the 1990s, there are all sorts of terrorist groups at work in the world, some that are still around, Hezbollah and Hamas, some that have been taken care of, like Abu Nidal, some that are in, you know, different parts of the world, the Sendero Luminoso, the Tamil Tigers, remnants of the Marxist Red Brigade in Europe. They're all being tracked by a very small cadre of CIA officers.
Let's introduce the heroines. Cindy Storer, who is a map reader before she becomes part of the CTC. Barbara Sood, who is an Arabic scholar before she becomes part of the CTC. Gina Bennett, who comes from State Department. These women and many more And you describe how the desks are all shoved up against each other. So it's congenial. And at the same time, they're aware of the fact that they've been sidelined in the agency. But they come up with a way of analyzing the information that's coming in on terror. And I believe it's Cindy Storr. Forgive me if I have it wrong. At some point, Bin Laden's name starts to emerge. How do they put that together? Can we do that in a few minutes? We're going to turn to the Bin Laden fight. But they're the first people to recognize Bin Laden's important. Is that correct, Liza?
Right. Yes. Cindy Storer is an analyst. So people need to understand that the CIA has spies overseas who collect information, but it has a very important, very large cadre of analysts back at headquarters who take all this information and write classified reports. And it's their job to notify the president of, you know, essentially the next for Pearl Harbor, to write persuasive, compelling reports that will tell the president, the national security community, what's about to happen. So Cindy Storer in the early 1990s has been, like many incoming young women, put into a not that important side channel, looking at first looking at aerial imagery and then stuck on the Afghanistan desk at a time when the war in Afghanistan is now over. The Soviets have been pushed out. The Soviet Union collapses. But and nobody wants to hear about Afghanistan anymore. But she starts paying attention to these Arab fighters who had traveled to Afghanistan to fight the Soviet infidel, these jihadists, political Islamists, militant fighters, and they're not now returning to their home countries. They're dispersing all over the world. They're plotting more attacks. They want to prolong jihad. They want to fight America. They want to fight the United States. They want to drive the United States out of the Middle East and fight the American infidel. And she understands that they're communicating and working together. They're an organization, and they are individuals dispersed around the world, and they're being funded by this mysterious financier named Osama bin Laden.
Yes. Barbara Sood is one of the in the CDC, who puts together the fact that there's a connection, there's some kind of connection between a money trail and the connecting the dots, but they don't have it. They don't have our technology. They'll get it over the next 10 years. And
they're
working small pieces of information. And this is important to me, Liza, as a reader. They're not being listened to, even though they're gathering information about terror, which is dominating the news. After 93, of course, the attack in New York dominates the news, but they're not getting listened to. Why not? Where the building was divided into camps, and the one camp that had the power, what's that called? The DI, the director of...
At the building, there's they work for the Directorate of Intelligence. The part of the building that the spies work for overseas as a director of operations. And that's really that's the glamorous sort of job to have, is working for the
listen to the DI. At least
Right. And it has contempt for the DI. And so the clandestine spies overseas have some contempt for the analysts, and there are more women in the analyst corps than in the clandestine part of the operation. And it's also important. This might sound like kind of a nerdy nuance, but, you and I are journalists. And if I write something, I can write it under my own name. And I may have to convince an editor or two that it's worth writing, but then I can write it. And at the CIA, everything is a corporate product. So if you want to write that something is brewing in Indonesia, you have to get buy-in from the Indonesia desk. You have to get buy-in from your boss and from all these other people in the building in order to publish. And it was hard for these lower ranking women to persuade more senior analysts to say, yes, you can write this. We agree with you. We agree with your analysis. It was much harder to make their voices heard.
Let's start the drama. The Sisterhood, the Secret History of Women at the CIA, Liza Mundy. We're headed to find Bin Laden. Too late, before 9/11. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.